What is going down, everybody? It's time for MojoBreak.com, The Hype, episode number 177. We got an action-packed show for you guys today. We're going to talk about sports card Mount Rushmore. Which cards would you put on your Mount Rushmore? Any sport. Talking specifically the cards. We're also going to talk about the Golden Auction news. Big deal with a lot of celebrities involved and putting some money into Golden Auctions. As well as some of the new releases and some other stuff as well. Dan, what kombucha flavor you got today?
Ooh, that is a good question. That's something I can get behind. Blueberry raspberry uplift. It's not the one that tastes like A1.
That one's good, by the way.
It's not bad. It's not. I don't understand. It doesn't have doesn't share the same ingredients as A1, but it tastes
A1
like
the steak sauce.
Like the steak sauce.
Yeah, yeah, dude. You brought me one. It's actually pretty.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. It tastes a little bit
it's
like
pretty
A1.
Good. It's like a nice ice cold refreshing A1 on like a hot day. Like sitting at like maybe on your porch or at a beach, just drinking a little ice cold A1 sauce.
I can't imagine.
Doug gets it.
He's got the Major Melon rocking Mountain Dew.
Gamers know what's good right here. Mountain
Gamer
Dew.
Gamer Melon.
You play some 2K and get down on that.
2K
huh?
Mountain Dew. Yep.
You still play 2K with your face on the game?
Yeah, I do.
Nice.
I do.
I gotta work on that. I can't get it. I can't get my face in the game.
Looks super realistic, man.
That's dope.
I could actually just take Blake Jameson's face and put it on there, and it would be me, apparently.
That's been the rumblings.
Yeah. I mean, he's got an Irish last name. I'm sure there's maybe some, you know, connection there somewhere down the line. But a hat and beard.
You got an Irish last name?
I did.
You did?
I don't know. Well, it still is Irish, but there used to be an MC at the beginning of it and it changed. The Bears owner, Virginia McCaskey, that used to be somewhere down the line. My ancestors changed it to just Caskey.
Actually, so. You know what? Why don't you just tell the whole story? I've heard the story, but I don't think the listeners have.
Nah.
Didn't your family lose everything west of Louisiana from a...
Oh, like poker bet?
Like a poker bet.
My grandma says that my great-great-grandpa owned El Paso, Texas, and lost it in a poker bet. So, apparently. So, if you live in El Paso, you're welcome.
Explains a lot about your poker game.
Well, sports cards is obviously what this show's about. We have some new product that's just dropped today, Certified Basketball 2021. It's the second product with the rookies in their NBA uniforms, and it's the first product that's going to have the patch autos as well. So you get to chase Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman, LaMelo Ball, Denny Avdija, all the 2021 rookie class. We did a whole case this morning. It was pretty nice. Lots of color, lots of variety. But stay tuned. If you want to get into a break, we're going to be giving away $100 in break credits. So stay tuned on how you could win that as well within this video. But C-Rad, excited. Certified, I know it's like one of your favorites. What are you looking forward to this year in ripping Certified Basketball?
Mainly just the color. For me, you know, when I got back into breaking in 2014, or when I started breaking in 2014, totally certified was a thing back then. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though, you know, anybody that's around back then knows that totally certified wasn't that great of a product. No. But starting in 2015-16, they actually improved it dramatically. Like, it was 15-16 Totally Certified was actually one of my favorite products to rip that year, because they just gave you so much golds and emerald greens, number to five. Like, every case was loaded with colors. And at some point, they just switched it to certified. They dropped the totally part. I forget what year that is. But
it might actually.
Did they have them both or no?
Football used to have both of them.
Yeah, yeah. But 16-17 might have been the last year. The year of Totally Certified.
Of Totally Certified.
Because that was, I remember what you're talking about. That year was loaded. Mm-hmm. And that, I remember
there was four hits a box, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Four hits a box.
No,
most of them were relics. But before that,
there might have been six.
Yeah, there was in the 12-13.
Yeah, 12-13.
13-14. 13-14 too.
And 13-14, yeah, the same pack. I think it was every pack had a hit, right? Or maybe almost every pack. I think there might have been 12 packs, but.
Yep. But so for me, the colors are what I look forward to the most in certified.
You know, Noah, are they going to bring back Totally Certified?
You think they would have done it last year? Maybe, or they'll throw it in Chronicles, right? Maybe a new Totally Certified fabric of the game or something. But you know, one thing I do love about it, I do love the base design. It's kind of an underrated base design because you don't hear people saying like, "Oh, you know, I got my blue certified rookie of." you know, this guy or whatnot. But I think they look incredible. I don't know when they're going to catch on or if they will. I think they, as you can see here with the Anthony Edwards, I think they look amazing. It's just not the, it's not like Prism. It's not Optic. It's not, you know, even Hoops nowadays, right? So is this mainly an autograph product, or do you think this will ever become a parallel product, C-Rad?
I think this is a hit based product. Even though I just said I look forward to the colors, yeah, I view this more as a hit based product, and even crossing over as a crossover product, I think people tend to like certified football more than certified basketball. You know what I mean? So I kind of at this point I kind of associate it with football as well, but I think it's more of a hit based product more than like a. I don't see it ever turning into like a, people are gonna be chasing the base.
Right. What do you think, Dan?
I think it's a hit-based product. you know, I think in the football you get more hits than the basketball.
At least three, maybe
four. You get three, and I think it. I mean, our old certified football was like six hits,
something like that.
A lot, probably a lot.
It was a lot. It used to be considered your middle of the road product. It wasn't high end, but it definitely wasn't low end. I would put this product more towards the low end in the basketball category for sure. But yeah, I mean the base design looks good, the autos look good, the color. I wish the color held more value.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. But maybe you never know. You never know. Collectors
it's a new
may
year. Yeah.
It's a new year. Collectors may come out and be like, I gotta collect the mirror rainbow. And that could add value.
Yeah, because you got to keep in mind, I guess Certified came out at the beginning of last year. Yes, Zion and Ja were hyped, but it wasn't anywhere near the hype that came towards the end of the year where new collectors were coming in when the pandemic started and everything, you know, like that, that really drove people back into the market. I think Certified was already well forgotten, right, in terms of that.
I wish the blues and the reds were numbered.
I know. It's just, I know it's their mirror blue, mirror red. That's their legacy. But yeah, it makes you think.
I would like for them to be, they don't have to be numbered, like, they can be numbered to $4.99, something like that. But I'd love to have those numbered.
Yeah.
Because you're only getting one per pack. One per pack.
Do they still have rookie roll call, yeah?
Yeah.
On card rookie? Is it on card?
And they have that graffiti looking.
Oh, it's not on card.
No, it's sticker.
But you're right. It used to be. The pandemic, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. People probably don't want to do signings in person.
There's no NBA photo shoot.
Yeah.
Okay. I know it's not certified at this point now, but that has to be the reason why I believe there's not going to be any next day autographs in Donruss, right? Because of the pandemic. If you look at the sell sheet, Donruss, they don't say next day autograph anywhere on the sell sheet. And I looked over it, like I was like, they're gonna be $1,200 bought, and then there's no next day autograph.
It's Marvels,
like,
right?
What are we chasing? What are we chasing, guys?
They have to have the next days in there. Maybe they just, I don't know.
But the rookie roll call not being on card this year, I mean, it's not that big of a deal because certified is generally looked over anyways in the grand scheme of things for basketball. But that's interesting.
Yeah, interesting to follow up on that. We do have more certified on the schedule. If you go to mojobreak.com, all of our breaks are scheduled. All of our breaks are guaranteed. We have random tonight. We also have more PYT available for certified. We'll have it throughout the week. We didn't get a whole lot, so it'll probably be, you know, for a few weeks we'll have some. But definitely check that out. We have Mojo Collection, which is sold out. Thank you guys for your response on that. Sorry, our very own buyback. I think there might be one posted with spots, or maybe not. We'll have to definitely post some more. There's only 20 cases made of Mojo Collection, so get in on that. Everybody talks about this sports card bubble, and every time everybody's worried about the bubble bursting, more crazy news comes out. And I'm referencing the Golden Auctions, $40 million investment group that includes Kevin Durant, Dwayne Wade, Deshaun Watson. I think Barstool's involved. Timbaland is involved. It's all part of this Chernin group that invested $40 million into Golden Auctions, which I think they are now the majority owners of Golden Auctions, from what I gather. I think Ken Golden is still part of it, but now he's a minority owner, and he's also $40 million richer. 8 years ago, they started. This is crazy. Crazy news that, you know, somebody that actually doesn't even make anything. All they do is sell something for people got bought out for $40 million. But all these record sales have been going through Golden Auctions. The LeBron, the Jordans, the Wayne Gretzky, all these have been going through Golden Auctions, not eBay or anything like that. So obviously this investment group sees potential in this company to invest, you know, big money into a auction house, so to speak. And what are your thoughts, Dan?
I think it's great for the industry. I think it's the the first of many acquisitions that we're probably going to see. I was talking to Doug a couple days ago about, and this might have been 8 years ago, 7 years ago, when there was rumors that like Topps was for sale, and there was like numbers being thrown around there, and just for giggles, like I was talking to Doug, and I was like, man, I'm like, what would those price tags for a major manufacturer, one of the top three manufacturers, what would that price tag be now as opposed to 7-8 years ago? I mean, maybe close to $1 billion. What do you, I mean, am I crazy? Am I crazy saying? I mean,
with a B?
With a B.
What do you think, C-Rad?
How much Topps and Panini would be worth?
I mean, I guess Panini would have to be the one that would sell. If they did sell, they have the most assets, right? As far as all their licenses.
Upper Deck. Upper Deck has those sneaky
exclusives
that would bring a lot of coin back.
Well, that's the one that before I get your opinion on this, that's the one that I would think would be the one that would sell first, because obviously Richard McWilliam was the driving force of that company. He's passed away in 2013. They were in a lot of debt. I think their debt's getting close to where, from what I could tell, I don't know. I don't work there, but I think their debt's been dwindled to the point where maybe they're whole now, where they could probably, and I think it's his wife and maybe her brother, and then I think some people on the board that run it, I think, that they probably didn't have the passion that Richard McWilliam had when he was running the company. They're just kind of, you know, running the business. So if I was them and I didn't care about sports cards, I would probably sell in this market if you could have LeBron, Jordan. But it's also a thing that, does LeBron want to go to another company? Does Jordan want to go to it? I mean, you'd have to get their approval, right?
Yeah, or are those assets, could those assets actually be sold in a transaction?
Right.
I mean, you know that they do have the hockey license, and they obviously have some type of license with the NHLPA.
Right.
But the exclusives with Tiger and Serena Williams and Wayne Gretzky and Connor McDavid and Jordan, LeBron, I don't know if those can be sold off.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard from people in the industry that Jordan likes to just come once a year, sign couple hundred autos, see you next year, very chill. Same thing with LeBron. I've heard he just likes to sign a few little autos here and there, a couple events, you know, and that's it. Where, you know, if he went to a place like Panini, they'd probably want him to do a lot more, right? So maybe it might not be a situation where those guys want to do that. But what do you think about, like, what these companies could be possibly worth and if any of them could sell in this time period?
Man, I remember we were talking about that only like a few years ago, and I remember the prices that we throwing around back then. Like, if I recall, like, those prices are not anywhere near what I would assume these companies would be worth nowadays. Like, I think we were saying like a couple hundred million dollars a few years ago.
I want to say when the story came out years and years ago with Topps, it was like $400 million.
Yeah.
And I remember all of us just like looking at each other going, man, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And but now I think it's a heck of a deal, I guess. I mean, yep. If you got an extra Billy burning a hole in your pocket and you're looking to get into the sports card game.
Yeah. I mean, all it takes is an investment group. Obviously there was like what, 10 to 20 people involved in this one. So a million here, a million there, a million here, a million there. They all have a little bit of a piece of it.
Here's
the interesting thing, too, that some of these guys actually buy cards, right? I think it was Deshaun Watson that I heard bought the Dwayne Johnson Rock Miami University card that went for $45,000. I heard he was the one that purchased it. Is this a situation where maybe these guys are like, you know, they didn't want to maybe sell some of these cards on eBay, so if they acquire an auction house, they can save on fees and sell some of these high-end cards or promote their cards through that. Maybe they feel more comfortable, like Deshaun Watson being like, bid on my card on golden auctions rather than be like, go on eBay, right? I mean, so I don't know if there's any of that at stake here where these guys are – maybe they've already been buying some assets and they're going to use this to liquidate some of their assets.
But you look at this acquisition. Is there another auction house or another – maybe an eBay consigner that gets purchased at some point?
Like Shilstein or PWCC?
It could be. I don't – what did you call the first one?
Probstein.
Oh, that's what I heard.
Yeah, that's what I said.
But yeah, you think that that's a possibility, right? Every industry is kind of a copycat industry. So when you see an auction house get purchased, there's probably going to be another one on the horizon at some point in the near future.
It's just fun. It's interesting because it's a service they purchase, right? Ken Golden does not make anything.
They look like they're going to try to get into the media aspect as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of content out there in the sports card industry. There's a lot of podcasts. Definitely tough starting one up right now, I would say. Hard to figure out where your lane's going to be.
Well, I mean, just think about if you have this celebrity power and you're trying to get a card that maybe you bought for $100,000, you're trying to get it to sell for $200,000. Now you got, you know, Timbaland or Deshaun Watson talking about it. I mean, that is like literally the best kind of, it's almost like there's influencers behind this company that can influence people to go to this website. I don't know if they're necessarily doing that or they're just looking at it as an investment, but it's kind of a genius idea in a sense to, you know, make the card rise up. Chris says that Snoop traded a lowrider for a Chrome rookie card. That's interesting. So, I also wanted to point out this. I think this is Golden Auctions as well. This thing is ridiculous. Gotta be a Pop 1. 96-97 Topps Chrome Refractor Kobe Bryant Black Label. As of today, the bidding is over $1 million on this
card.
Are
the refractors numbered?
No. It's just like the equivalent of a silver. But the Pop report's got to be pretty low. And I got to assume this is the only Black Label refractor in existence. Maybe one other one, but it's very hard to get a Black Label grade, and this person literally hit the jackpot. I mean, this has got to be the biggest Black Label sale, because I think Black Label's, what, 5 years ago, maybe? 4 or 5 years ago, they had the Pristine 10, and then they upped it to the, if you get all four of them, it's Black Label. So I think this will be
how many Black Labels have you had?
None. Zero.
And all the cards that you've submitted to Beckett, you've never had one?
Not one.
I've never had one. You ever had one, C-Red?
No.
Man, it's crazy that card got a Black Label.
It is crazy.
But I don't know.
It's a beautiful card.
It is. I'm obviously looking at a scan or a photo of it. It does look clean.
Yeah. It looks, and it's, you know, those Kobe cards can have some greening going on with them, especially the base. This one doesn't look like that. It definitely looks like what they say, pack fresh, when people put in their listings. It definitely looks pretty clean.
2 years ago, what do you think that card was? Raw.
Raw?
Raw.
Probably 3,000, 4,000.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I looked at I found our Kobe that we have. We have a PSA 10 Kobe. I went back and we bought it in 2018 for $900, and it's now going for $50,000. So, I mean, the appreciation of these things here, the appreciation of these things are ridiculous right now.
Yeah, he said 50 with a 50.
That's what some of them have sold. I mean, I don't know if they got paid, but
you said it very casually. Like, you're all, yeah, bought it 2 years ago for $9,000. It's going for like $50,000. Just another day at the office.
There's a lot of them that I sold.
I get it. I think we're uncharted territories at this point when it comes to the market. But I don't see cards like that going down in value. I don't see the blue chip, like the Kobe Bryant rookies and the LeBron James and the Jordans and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. I don't see those cards going down.
I don't see them either, but this is, you know, I think the PSA 10 base had a pop report of 800. So, I mean, that's really low. Obviously, the refractors are probably even lower because they were harder to hit. You know, so that this is, yeah, definitely a blue chip investment. Million, good investment? I don't know. We'll see. My bigger issue with what's going down here is that I think somebody told, and this is allegedly, that graders make anywhere from $60,000 to $80,000, right? So this person who decided, and this is probably before the boom, that gave this card a black label, this grader, basically changed somebody's life. So we're at the point now where these graders changing people's lives, right? So that's where I have kind of an issue with transparency, right? You know, I can't buy a house and not have an inspection report on the house, not find out when the house was built, not find out anything about it if I buy a house for this price. But for a card, I don't know who graded it. I don't know when it was graded. I mean, sometimes you can find it on the BGSs when it was graded, but I don't know who graded it. So this is the thing. I mean, they say that none of these graders know what cards are coming across their desk. They don't know, so there's no way that they can collude. But, you know, there's a lot of money to be made by grading a card from, hey, let's make it a 9 to a black label. Let's make it a 7 to a 9. Like, a lot of money is at stake now. A couple years ago, maybe it was only $5,000, where, okay, that's, you know, one mortgage payment, one, well, in California, maybe somewhere else, it's a couple months, but one mortgage payment. But now it's like you can buy a house with what this grader decides to do with your card.
So what do you think the market value difference between a BGS 9.5 and that black label 10 would be?
Well, we have some examples here, Dan.
Man,
for example, a Topps LeBron James PSA 10 sold for $44,000. A black label sold for $89,000. And that's actually in December. So that could probably be, you could probably mark that up to $110,000. Double. So that person made $50,000.
Okay.
$50,000 extra.
So double. So that.
But that's on that specific card. Okay. We'll go through more examples. A 2012 Prism Silver Kawhi Leonard PSA 10, $23,000. A black label silver prism, $60,000. That's a $30,000 swing, right? This is the one that could be easily done, right? So we have a Zion base PSA 10, $1,200. A black label, $11,000. That is a $10,000 swing on a base card. And they could pop those off because it's not short printed, right? They could pop a few of those off a day. You're just giving somebody 10 grand, right? So I'm not saying anything shady is happening, but where there is money involved, there is evil involved, right? So I would like to see in the future these companies, maybe if a card hits a certain level, like if they know a Kobe Bryant that comes in could be $1 million card, there needs to be some documentation. There needs to be somebody out there that's like, this guy's grading it. Even if they don't want to release names, employee 265 is grading this card at this time on this day, and this is why this grade has.
Or
this grade.
What if there's checks and balances internally where every black label that is given, it has to go to a senior grader for like a second opinion.
Right.
Somebody who is job could be on the line if like there's, you know, too many. Black label is getting pushed out. But I mean, remember, it wasn't that long ago when there was like a story floating around, maybe 3 years ago, where there was that one guy who was submitting cards to BGS and he was just racking off black labels. It was like he had like a 90% success rate, right, on black labels, where, right, again, I get back to the fact that me and Doug been doing this for 10 years. We have probably sent in not a ton of cards, maybe 500 to 800 cards,
yeah,
and we've never had a black label. But there was this one dude who was basically 90% success rate on black labels.
I mean, the story came out that he had rock hard reviews on some of those, so he basically did rock hard review on thousands of cards. I mean, still it's odd, but yeah. I mean, he rock hard reviewed a lot of them and then only submitted his black labels to get slapped.
Okay.
So that's why it looked like it was a high success ratio on that.
Okay, again, how many black labels have you had?
Yeah, yeah. Like, guy has a really good eye. But yeah, I mean, there's a. I'm just pointing the fact. I'm not saying it's happening, but I just wanted to bring up that there's a lot of money being exchanged when you get a 9 to a 10 to a black label. So, you know, even if it's one guy that determines what grader gets the car, I would like to see the process. I would like to see who gets it. Like I said, I can't buy a house without talking to a realtor, without talking to that person's realtor, without getting an inspection report, without having this 60-page report of this house, because it's a high-dollar item. So why can't we have that with high-dollar cards? It's too easy for somebody to screw the system. That's it. I mean, right here you have a company that HGA, which have people been talking about how great their slabs look. It's a cross between it's the human grading something. What's the HGA stand for? It's human grading something. But they came out and they did this Meguiar, a 9.5, and obviously it's not centered. They gave it a 9 on centering. It's not centered, and then on further example, the corner is dinged.
Hybrid
grading something. But people love the look of their slabs, which they match the color of the card. They let you pick what color you want the label to be. Great looking card, but they already had a schlub here. Apparently the company dinged the card themselves, felt bad, so the human element came in, not the computer element, and gave this card a 9.5 that didn't deserve a 9.5. So you know, these are things that happen.
And I don't know why they would still slab it. I think, why wouldn't you just handle that from a customer service standpoint, reach out to the customer and say, hey,
replace the card for
this is what happened. Like, we're going to either replace the card or give you the value of the card based on this grade. But why would you still slab it and now you put it out into the market? And
that don't look good, bro.
It don't look good for your company.
Especially when you're a new guy in the block.
It also looks like you just wanted to avoid the hassle of dealing with the customer service aspect of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, probably should have tried to buy that guy another card. But I mean, those Meguiars aren't short printed. You probably would have been the way to handle it. But I just, you know, I have a lot of scenarios that run through my mind. Like, say, I talked to Dan about this before we did the show, too, is that, like, what if you spent 5 years and you combed through your collection and you picked out 200, you magnifying glass, looked at surface, you picked out 200 cards and you're like, these are all going to gem 10 because centering's great, surface is great, and then you send them in to PSA and then this guy's giving you 10s, he's got 50 10s, and then he's just like, I can't give this guy any more 10s, like, because it's the human element, like, maybe the jealousy, like, this guy's already, I've already given him $1 million in his grades. So then the rest of the cards, I'm giving them 9s because it's the human element of this, right? And that's where I think you could borderline go down the shady track.
Or we talk about a lot, like, does the pop report come into play?
Right.
Is it like, hey, we've given the last 300 Zion cards that we've – Zion Prism cards that we've graded, like, 90% of them have gotten 9.5s or 90% of them have gotten 10s. We need to level out the pop report a little bit and maybe send out a memo that grade them a little tougher. Maybe give some 8s, 8.5s, 9s. We can't just oversaturate the 9.5s or 10s.
Right. Now I know you got the 6.5 in the works, but what are your thoughts on, like, what we've been talking about with grading?
I mean, I pretty much agree with everything you said with what you guys have been saying, bro. It's like, I had a long discussion with people in the chat room on Friday about HGA, you know, because they were like, with, you know, people feeling like PSA and BGS having a monopoly on the grading services, you know, they were like, something's got to give at some point. And I was like, yeah, I mean, the HGAs look nice, you know, some of them, like, really do actually look nice. And I get it, like, we talked about it, like having a computer element of it where it's like, it measures it out, the dimensions and the centering, like, exactly. So, like, it should be perfect centering if you do it through a computer instead of just, like, having a human do it, right? But, man, that's a big hill to climb to try to overthrow, you know, be bigger than PSA and BGS.
Yeah, I mean, right now there's definitely a market for more grading companies, but it really comes down to transparency.
Yeah.
Look at the backlog of PSA. Look at the backlog of BGS. I mean, if you HGA, they have a good looking product.
Yeah.
Don't agree with what they did with the Meguiar.
Yeah, that's silly.
But they can be another option just because it takes so long with the main two.
Yeah.
That there's room for more grading companies.
There is, but you gotta get long-term sustainability and trust. And right now, the way they just did that.
That already looks, I mean,
I wasn't thinking of ever sending them the cards, but if I ever thought about it now, I would never do it.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, if you're a company that's, you know, new to the party and you're doing grading, you're going to be under the microscope. I mean, people are going to be looking to troll you and looking to basically break you down at any possibility. Yep. And this is, I mean, it doesn't look good.
Yep.
Yeah. And I would like to hear your guys' your experiences with grading, good or bad, your thoughts. I want to hear it in the comments below, like something that like maybe you didn't think was going to happen. Cause you know, sometimes it feels like a lottery when it shouldn't be. And especially with a lot of money being thrown around. And once again, this whole segment was not to bash grading companies. It was to bring to light the possibility of what could happen and the amount of money that this changes when it does happen.
Yep. Because there's so much unknown, right. like we've been talking about this whole segment. There's so much unknown with the actual process of grading. It's like, but it can change somebody's life significantly if they have a 10 or a 9.5 or a pristine 10 or a black label. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
yeah, I mean, so like to hear those comments in the video on Mojo Break Media. All right, let's get into the Mount Rushmore of cards. All sports, which cards belong on the Mount Rushmore that when you think of collecting, this is the card that you think of? You know, we've got some examples, and I think most of these are some of the ones that probably belong on there. Mm-hmm. But I'll start with Dan. What do you think?
I'm gonna say one.
And this could be opinion, but.
Yeah, I'm gonna say one right now that I don't see up there. 1989 Upper Deck Ken Griffey Jr.
I felt like you were going there.
I can't believe it's not on your little slide.
I can't believe
there.
It's not butter.
But that's like the one I'm going with right out of the gate.
Yep.
Yeah, I could see that. But can we all agree that we can just throw this off of there? Does anybody not have the Jordan on the Mount Rushmore? I mean, that has to be right up there, right?
Jordan's up there, but the 89 Griffey is 100% up there as well.
No.
Yeah.
You know
no.
what card is 100% up there that I don't see?
2015 National Treasure Sean Mannion RPA.
Tom Brady contenders rookie ticket.
Yeah, that's arguably up there as well.
That one should 100% be on there.
But I think like,
but I think when you look at an iconic card, regardless of the value, it's how obtainable is it?
Yeah.
You know how many people who are not even card collectors now have an 89 Griffey in a shoebox somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think you have to look at how many copies of said card are out there. And I think that's also what makes it iconic. I feel like we've had this conversation before.
Yeah, but I don't think we've ever picked just four, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's hard to pick. It's a great conversation to have, and obviously everybody's opinion is going to be different on it. But
yep.
My whole thing was that I think that I would say 99.9% of people's Mount Rushmore has to have that Jordan, right?
I think I would
say Jordan's on there 100%.
Jordan, I would also go the 89 Upper Deck. I'd also go with the 52 Mantle. Because the 52 Mantle also, you think of it, it's like a pop culture card.
Yeah.
Like that card is that the look of that card is iconic. You've seen that in movies. You've seen it in like people talk about it in books, magazines, like everything, photos. Like that card's been around.
The Mantle's on there 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that. And you know, if you look at the 52 Mantle, those were the cards that everybody talked about that their mom threw away, right?
Yeah.
52 Mantle, I had it. You know, my dad said he thought he had it, or you know, the bike spoke conversation that we used to put those in our bike spokes, right? It was you know, everybody that my father or grandfather era was, you know, talks about that card. And then we had the resurgence at 89, which is similar to what happened with the 52. And then everybody had that Griffey propelled everybody back in, because now my dad was, you know, having me collect. And that was the time, right? Was the 89. So I don't disagree. I mean, I think it's close.
Yeah.
So that's where
it's iconic, but I don't think it's on Mount Rushmore, bro. The Griffey.
I have the it is. It's on mine. I cannot be convinced that it's not, and I cannot sway away from that opinion. it is 100% on there.
Mount Rushmore. Of sports cards.
Absolutely.
Can we put the exquisite RPA LeBron James?
No, because it. How many are out there? 20, 23?
I get that, but that
not
that
obtainable.
That transcended what we know with flawless and everything. Right?
Not obtainable. I that is one of the.
So your Mount Rushmore has to be
has
a card
to be, has
that
to be obtainable.
Widely printed.
Has
it's
to
not
be obtainable.
Numbered.
Has to be iconic, and you can actually have held one at some point in your life.
Well, the 52 Mano, it can't be on there then, because
it's
not obtainable.
But it is, though. Like, you can get a low graded or raw 52
for like 20
mantle.
Or 30 grand, yeah.
A PSA 1 for $30,000?
It's up there. It's up there. Not going to sway me on that one either. I got to figure out one other one, though. So
so you have the Jordan, the Griffey, and the Mantle. So
I have
far.
The Jordan, Griffey, and the Mantle.
Yeah, what about the radio
silence.
The Gretzky is on there. Is that the Opeachy one, or is that the top? Yeah, that's the Opeachy one.
The Gretzky is really, really close. But then, because that fits right in my criteria as being obtainable. I think I might go with the Gretzky.
Bro, let me ask you guys, man, and you guys are more baseball guys than me. Anybody in this room. Are you guys putting Mike Trout on the Mount Rushmore of sports
If I
cards,
was
bro?
To put Mike Trout, I wouldn't put the card that's pictured there.
You'd put
the
2011 update.
Topps update.
That's tough. I mean, I might consider the 2011 update, but it's hard for me to put a guy that's career still on, going, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's why I can't say Zion either. I know LeBron.
Oh, no.
There's some people in the chat.
You put Zion or Luka.
What is it, Zion? You crazy, boy.
No, there's people in the chat.
No. I'm calling the person in the chat room crazy.
Yeah. No, but I can see it. Regardless of if Zion sucked. If Zion literally failed his career, his cards transcended an era.
A moment in time.
Well, that moment's still going on, so we don't
but
know.
Okay, it transcended for sure. But aren't we talking about Mount Rushmore of sports cards? When we look back throughout whatever decade you're from, and you're like, these cards are like the greatest, most legendary, iconic cards I can think of. Zion.
And to an extent, Mike Trout, too,
because his career's still going on. He hasn't won anything yet. He's a great player. But, like, bro, like, how can you put him over a Griffey, a Mano, a Gretzky, a Brady? A LeBron.
But what do you?
No, and I completely.
What do you put for Brady?
You're speaking it. I agree.
Yeah, you can. I mean, I think Brady deserves to be up there too. But it would go against your theory. You can't put the contenders, right? Because that's not obtainable. So the problem with Brady was that he was such a late round pick that he doesn't have. I mean, you could say his Bowman, maybe. You could say his SPX.
That contenders is up there. That contenders.
But he just
there.
Didn't have like a base card that people gravitated to. There's like 10 of them. I think the Bowman one's taking the lead.
You know what card? It wouldn't make it up there, but it would fit my criteria. Would be the Jerry Rice rookie card.
Yeah,
because that is obtainable. Mm-hmm. A lot of people had them. They go for a lot of money, and it's a super iconic card.
Yeah, I don't dispute that as a Niner fan.
It has nothing to do with being a Niner fan. But
it's
like,
got that green border.
I would say that card is more iconic than, is it the 81 Montana? Is it?
Yeah, the white border.
The white border.
Yeah. I mean, if you had to put, I mean, because which card do you put a Tom Brady in there? You know, like I said, D. Porter, 1986 Topps rookie card, Jerry Rice. Jerry's the GOAT, too. All right. is Jerry Rice's 1986 Tops is a question not only for the people in the comment that when they're watching the video back, but people in the chat. Is Jerry Rice were 86 Tops worthy of the Mount Rushmore?
No.
Not, and tell us why.
There's bigger iconic cards. It's one of the bigger ones, but it's not the biggest one.
Maybe if there's a Mount Rushmore of football cards.
Mount Rushmore football. Or if there's another mountain on the next to the round Mount Rushmore, and you can put Jerry Rice on there.
What about
the other mountain?
Yeah.
Does Bill Russell fit on the Mount Rushmore?
What about the Bird Magic Julius Erving, Dr. J?
That's the basketball mountain or the other mountain?
I mean, that's close because you got two. I mean, that's the only card, and we've preached about this, and I called it out on my PSA 5 bargains. It's not a bargain anymore, but the 5 PSA bargain video that we did, it has 45,000 views. Thank you guys for watching that one. That one is the only rookie card that has two Hall of Famers, like two top 10 NBA players of all time.
Awesome card.
And Bird. And then you throw in Julius, who wasn't his rookie, but Dr. J on that card too.
But you have three Hall of Famers.
You have three Hall of Famers, but it's two
rookies.
Yeah. Not Dr. J's rookie.
Awesome card. Not Mount Rushmore.
I would actually. I think that could be on there. I think that would. I would put that card before the Contenders Brady. So if I have to pick a fourth one, it's the Bird Magic Dr. J. That's my four.
Some people are mentioning first edition Charizard. Yeah, if it was a card Mount Rushmore, yeah, I think we're just focusing on sports cards. But yes, that. Especially right now, is definitely iconic.
Garbage. Culturally, like a pop culture mountain, yeah, you could put that Charizard.
Yeah,
Adam
sports
Bomb.
Cards, no.
Adam Bomb,
from the
Garbage Pail Kids.
Yeah, Garbage Pail Kids.
Charizard ain't catching no touchdowns, bro.
Jeffrey says he'd pick Emmitt Smith before Jerry Rice. Mm-hmm. I guess what the score supplemental. Jerry Kuzman, Nolan Ryan rookie card. I mean, that's a pretty good one.
With there
the one
we
with
go.
Jerry Kuzman, yes.
okay.
Cal Ripken, I guess, is kind of it's more of a junk wax era beginning of it, but
Ricky Henderson's
a dope card too. But not a goat in his sport. So that's the thing. It's like you got to pick a goat in the sport as well.
Doug's definitely got the tops Tiffany 1986 Barry Bonds.
Yeah, that would be on my Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, that'd be on.
Probably not a lot of people's Mount Rushmore. So.
I think, like, when you're talking about the Mount Rushmore sports cards, it just so happens to be that some of the most iconic cards are the GOAT of their sport, or one of the GOATs of their sports, right? So.
Yeah. Well, that's a good conversation to have, and that's going to lead us to how you can win $100 in break credit.
Oh, I thought you were going
to
say, that's how you win all these cards. Yeah,
all of them.
You got to collect all four.
Yeah.
Send us a picture, and then we send you $100 site credit.
People are going to take that at Word is Bond. Yeah, they all got to be tens, though. They all got to be tens, including the – you got to have a 10. Yeah,
Jordan, Mano, Brady, and what's the fourth one? LeBron James, exquisite.
All tens.
Make sure you get all four of those cards in hand, not reprints, the actual cards, and then we send you – I'm just kidding.
It's true,
That's a lot of money you got to spend to get $100 site credit.
Random Indy also, I mean, we didn't talk about before – I'll tell you how to win here in a second, but the Kobe, right? The Kobe that we mentioned –
It could get up there.
Because that's the chrome, that you can point to that card as being the reason that the LeBron happened, the reason that the Prism's happening
that chrome,
now.
That was the most iconic year of chrome.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that could definitely be considered to be up there as well. So how you're going to win $100 site credit is comment on the Mojo Break media channel on this video and comment on who you think is in the Mount Rushmore. You can give one, you can give four, you can do whatever you want. What card is in your Mount Rushmore? We want to know. We want to be able to talk about it later, and then somebody's going to win $100 in site credit that they can use, get into a break, all that other fun stuff. But before we go, I wanted to go over some scam stuff. Scam alert, just some stuff that we've been seeing. The first thing that I want to mention is not necessarily a scam, but... anybody that buys at a group breaks and say they hit a card that they think is worth X amount of dollars, like say you think, okay, I hit this card and I think it's worth $20,000 based on what I've seen in comps, and you contact the breaker and you're like, I want you to insure that card for $20,000. The breaker cannot insure that card for $20,000. So people that take your money and put insurance on that card is basically scamming you, because at the end of the day, if your package does not show up, then they will look at how much money you spent, not how much the card is perceived. So unless
the said breaker is insuring the card themselves.
Right.
Like, they are like, I will basically give you whatever amount of money that you wanted it insured for out of my pocket. I think what Doug is trying to say is having the carrier themselves,
yes,
fork over a $20,000 check without a receipt of what item was, what they, because they will not do it. They will not base it on eBay, and they won't base it on perceived value. They're going to want to see an invoice. Like, if you went to Best Buy and bought an Xbox and you had it delivered to your house and it showed up in a 100 pieces, you can't be like, well, I put $2,000 insurance on it. They're going to be like, okay, cool. Let me see your receipt. You paid $500 for it. We will give you a check for $500.
Right, if they even do that. Also, I want to know if anybody's gotten insurance money from any of these companies. I want to know if, like, something's – it doesn't even have to be sports cards. I just want to know if somebody's filed a claim and what that process was like and if they actually got their money back. But just think about it. I could sell Dan my phone and say, Dan – I was like, Dan
– wouldn't buy that.
It's an Apple phone.
He wouldn't buy it.
But let's say hypothetically he's like, I really want that phone. And I'm like, cool, $40,000. He's like, cool. I insured my phone to be sent to Dan for $40,000. That's fraud, because then Dan could just say, I lost it every time. I lost it. And then they write him a check for $40,000. So that's why they need to see receipts. And when you're in a break, the only receipts you're going to have is the break spots. So any breaker that's saying that FedEx is insuring you, yeah, they will let you pay and insure it. But when you go to say, like, if your package does not show up or your package shows up damaged, they're going to want to see the receipt of what you paid for.
I would love to be proved wrong in this. And I agree with Doug, with what Doug is saying, but, like, I would love to see a situation where you had somebody insure a package for a perceived value, paid something completely different, and you had the carrier give you the amount of the perceived value that it was insured for. The common issue here is that you can go to FedEx, and when you go, you can put insurance in for, you can be like, I'm going to insure it for $5,000, and they will take your money. 100%. But I want to see if anybody has actually had a carrier give them a check.
Yeah, and how did you do it? I don't think it's a carrier. I think you have to go to corporate or whatever. I don't know. I'm assuming a lot of the insurances are
done through the carrier system. If it's UPS or USPS. USPS, I can imagine. I can't see that going down. Matt, you can't even get on the phone and talk to anybody. So I don't know how you'd even.
Wiseman Chaser says, I sold the Herbert 101 shield, paid to have it shipped next day with a lot of insurance. $200 it was to ship, took 4 days. Yeah, well, right now shipping's bad with the weather. But if that card got lost, now if you sell something to somebody on eBay, you actually probably should have a receipt at that point.
Yeah, so
that might work. I'm talking about specifically if you don't have any bill of sale of that card and you're trying to get what you think that card is worth. So that specifically applies to people that are in group breaks.
Yeah.
That pay $500 and hit a perceived value card of $10,000, and they say, I want to insure it for $10,000. Well, the only receipt you have is for $400. So they will not go off comps, like, or anything like that. So
yeah, but if you sell a card, like Wiseman said, if you sell a card on eBay or wherever you sold it, and the guy paid you, you know, $5,000,
there's a paper trail. There's a paper trail, and you
have insurance. Yeah. Then you could be like, well, $5,000 was exchanged. This is how much it was sold for. Let me get my $5,000 back.
Right.
But in a group break, it's like you buy a spot for $100, and then you hit a card worth $5,000, and you want to insure it for $5,000. Like, and if it gets lost, like, the carrier is not going to give you $5,000. They'll be like, show me your receipt.
Well, I can guarantee you the first thing, if you file a claim, they're going to be like, upload your receipt.
Yeah.
All right. So you upload your receipt.
$100 break spot.
It's a $150 receipt. They're going to be like, we see that you insured this for $5,000, but we have a receipt for $100.
Right.
I can guarantee you they are going to look at that and go, we're going to choose the $100.
Yeah.
I mean, you may even want to look in it if they're going to protect you on the eBay sale, because you could actually, I mean, if you think about it, you could fraud that too.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if a carrier service would take a sale from eBay into account.
Right.
They probably have, in their terms and conditions, they probably specifically say, any type of auction where auction transaction doesn't apply.
It's it cards are considered like fine art. So even if an art dealer sells an art piece for $40,000, they will not give you a $40,000 check because it's considered fine art. So I'm not even sure that you'd be covered with an eBay transaction, with a website transaction, just because though that insurance is put into place for like Xboxes, like Dan said, where everywhere you could buy an Xbox is the same price. It's a stated price on an Xbox, $500. So collectibles and assets that appreciate, I doubt they will cover you on. So I'm just, you may feel warm and fuzzy sending it with insurance, but I don't know if it will, they will cover you. Signature confirmation is key. Obviously do that. Obviously pack it as well
as
you can.
Little tricky right now in the pandemic. There's a lot of the carriers will sign the package themselves. Because they're not trying to give anybody, you know, their little scanner shooby and have people sign it. But I do agree with that. I agree absolutely. If it's a high dollar item, definitely get direct signature is probably best.
Yeah. So this guy says, Craig in the chat says, so if we hit a big money card on Mojo, what option do we have for to get full value insurance? We really don't have any options.
None. That's why we're having this conversation. Because our shipping department and our shipping manager specifically answers this email probably 20 times a week.
Yep. Yeah.
And I actually, when people ask me in the chat room, I actually explain everything that you just talked about in the chat room. Like, we hit obviously high dollar value cards and people ask me like, oh, what type of insurance do you think, how much insurance do you actually get? And I explain the same thing. I'm like, we can do it. But when it comes time, if your card goes missing or something, the carrier will not give you that amount that you insured.
Right. I'm saying that any breaker you break with, if they're offering you insurance, unless they're covering it themselves, which is probably subjective, which if we determine that we lost your card, then it's on us. But if UPS, it leaves our facility and it's scanned in and it's on its way to you and it somehow they lose it, then we have to make a determination on what card it is and how, if it's replaceable and stuff like that. But like literally at that point, it's not really on us. It was on USPS. Obviously our customer service, we want to take care of our customers. We're going to do our best to rectify the situation. But I'm just saying if breakers are charging you insurance, I really don't know if something happens, how they're going to, unless they come out of pocket themselves, how they're going to rememy the situation by contacting FedEx or anything like that.
What we have done for big dollar cards, we would do a FedEx overnight one card. Not if you got into a series one break and it was 3 hours ago and you're asking for all your base cards, we're probably not gonna be able to get those sorted. But if it's one card, we will do a overnight FedEx with direct signature, and that is about as safe as we can possibly do it.
Right.
I would say I haven't seen too many. I've seen overnight packages get delayed, but I haven't, dealing it with 10 years, you know, shipping packages, I've not seen too many overnight packages just vanish and get lost.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I heard some people asking that other breakers are offering insurance. I don't know if they're offering it and they're paying out of pocket. That's maybe what they're doing.
And that's something that if you are buying insurance or having a card insured from a group breaker, you may want to inquire that, are you putting insurance on through your carrier or are you insuring the card yourself? Right. Like, that's are you question. Basically taking the insurance and shipping it whatever way you deem is the safest and you're taking full responsibility if the card doesn't show up?
Bro, I'm going to be honest. I don't think a lot of these other brokers even know that.
Yeah, I don't think that. I think they just pay because cards don't really get lost that much, right? I mean, it's a very, very rare instance where a card gets lost. These companies are pretty good, especially we do high dollar items through FedEx where it's door to door tracking. And it doesn't normally happen. So they're just banking on the fact that they're getting you to pay the insurance and it's just not going to happen. And then if it does, they'll file a claim. But they're going to learn on that big. And, I mean, we're talking about cards going up and up every week. Every week, cards are going up. There's gonna be a problem. There's gonna be a time where that card doesn't show up. They try to file a claim for FedEx, and they're gonna be like, "Well, how much? Where's the receipt? Oh, it's $500. Okay, we'll give you $500 back."
Yeah.
So,
I think a lot of breakers like offer it and they don't even know that, like, if the package gets lost, because like Doug was saying, like, packages generally do not get lost very often, especially when we do like a FedEx overnight thing, but it can happen. And when it happens, I think some of these breakers don't know that, even though they offer you insurance to the carrier is not going to pay out that insurance amount.
Yeah, definitely. So just something
that's why I'd like to know if anybody's ever received a insurance payout from a carrier that was more than the documented receipt.
Right.
I'd love to see it, because I have a pretty good idea.
Yeah, if you know of anybody that got a card missing from a break and got a payout from FedEx, I want to know. Because what I've been told from our FedEx rep is that it's considered fine art, and they will not value that item at what you think it's worth. So something to consider.
But again, they will 100% take your money for the insurance.
Yeah,
you can insure. I want to say the most through FedEx is like $5,000 or something like that.
Yep,
and they will allow you to pay that $5,000. And maybe when you put insurance, we don't know how it is internally, but maybe when you pay for that $5,000 insurance, it gets more eyeballs on the package. They basically are like, okay, let's make sure this package shows up. Maybe it gives you a little peace of mind, like, that, like,
more of a white glove service.
Yeah, a little bit more of a peace of mind that, like, your package is going to show up. Now they're a little bit more concerned and they're not going to lose it. A little bit more attention to detail, but I think that's all you're getting, is a little bit more attention to detail.
Yeah, and then the last thing I wanted to say about a scam alert, and I literally cannot believe that this was a topic. It was on one of the forums, I believe it was the Sports Card Scammer forum, where some breaker, some, you know, fly-by-night breaker doing his business through Facebook was only accepting friends and family, even when the guy basically said, well, I'll pay you the extra 2%. The guy said, well, they hold my money, so don't send me goods and services. They hold my money. I couldn't believe the amount of comments that said, I only use friends and family in breaks. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean? You're wrong for wanting to send goods and services. There's a segment, and I know that, like, for you vets that have been around, it's obviously easy to know that you don't do friends and family. But if you're breaking with somebody, or if you're even in a RAS and they only want friends and family, do not do business with them. That is, for one, ruining a good thing. PayPal needs their money to provide their service. And for two, there's no way there's a hard recourse for you as a consumer to ever get your money back. So do not do business with people that only want friends and family. It's a 2%, 2 to 3% fee. Pay that fee. If it's a $100 item, you give them $103. Wow. What's $3 nowadays? If they don't want to take your money after you offer them $103, then you don't do business with them. That's it. If it's too good to be true, it usually is. And if people are trying to get friends and family from you through PayPal, more than likely they're a scammer.
Yeah, and don't buy break spots with Cash App. Don't buy break spots with Venmo.
Buy through the Facebook Marketplace app either, which I heard.
Yeah, Facebook Marketplace. Don't buy that. I mean, basically, to protect yourself as a consumer, use PayPal goods and services, or check out on a website using your credit card, or attach your credit card to your PayPal if you want to do it that way and you don't want to have a PayPal account or whatnot. Right. But yeah, do not, no Venmo, no Cash App, no Facebook. Is it called Facebook Pay or something like that?
Yeah,
don't use that. Goods and services and credit card.
Yeah, I mean, PayPal's in the business to make money, and therefore, one, they may shut that person down, which they may be holding your money, and then they can't do the break because they don't have the money to do the break. So there's a lot of reasons why you would never, even if it's like a trustworthy person that you have vouchers for and they want you to do friends and family, just don't do it. You can get your own stuff shut down. You know, and there has been some rumblings about breakers PayPal getting shut down. Obviously, that we're not concerned about that. We'll find another way to charge people if that happens. But the people that are getting shut down are the ones that are taking friends and family payment.
Taking friends and family that are probably doing a lot of back and forth friends and family transactions. Yeah. Not set up as a business. I think if you're doing a lot of friends and family,
too many PAL transactions. Yeah.
Too many PAL transactions. And not having a direct website as well, could be kind of a red flag for PayPal. If you do have a business account, but you're just getting tons and tons of friends and family payments.
We used to like pay for, like, say I was buying a card or buying a box from a card shop or a case from a card shop, and say it was like a $5,000 case, I used to send like one or two of those friends' family payments a month. And obviously, we have thousands upon thousands of goods and service transactions. So I justified it. I don't even do that anymore because I'm like, all this stuff, everything that's going down, not doing it. I'll pay the extra fee.
Also, and I mean, this is just for breakers in general. Obviously, you brought up the Razzes. That's our absolute red flag with PayPal. Fillers are an absolute red flag. Many fillers, and I don't know how many times you can break it down in a filler, but anytime you are sending payments for basically a chance drawing, red flag for PayPal as
well. Yep, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, it's best if you are an aspiring breaker. I know this is maybe the old man in me saying this, but get a website. It looks a lot better when you're processing payments through a payment provider rather than having people send you payments, because those people could say, we had it the other day. We had somebody ship over for overnight shipping, and they put, for a card I won. And I mean, that doesn't look good, right? So get a website. It's easy to get a Wix website, to get a Shopify website. Run everything through a website. When you have people sending you payments, PayPal, all of a sudden you're not active, and then all of a sudden you have 50 people sending you money, maybe some goods, some. I mean, it just doesn't look good.
As a breaker, your life will be a lot easier if you have some type of sustainable website.
They know, for one, you probably have a tax license that you're going to pay your taxes on this income that you're coming in. And for two, it's maybe Shopify's backing it too, so PayPal is less likely to shut down your account, because like if you're using Shopify, for instance, they have fraud filters on there. So PayPal probably feels a little bit warm and fuzzy about people that are going through Shopify that have already been vetted than Johnny Flame sending you money for fire poles.
Old,
you know what
Johnny
I'm saying?
Flame.
You know, just fire poles with five Z's in it, and it's going directly to your PayPal. So they don't like that stuff. They like to see you as a business. So if you want to be a business, stop being a wannabe business and be a real business. It's easy. It's easy to do. If anybody has any questions,
contact Doug personally on his cell phone. Yeah. Here's his phone number.
408-EATSH. No, I'm just kidding. But anyways, yeah, just be legit. You know, like the rapper from the Bay. Be legit.
Be legit.
Anyways, that's all we got for the hype today. Make sure you check out mojobreak.com for any upcoming breaks. We got more cup hockey coming out on Friday. We got Certified. We got Mojo Collection. We've got Contenders. We've got Optic. We have lots of stuff breaking. And our site, everything is guaranteed to break. Everything is scheduled on Pacific times. You go on our site, you're on a PC or computer, schedule's on the right side. If you're on the mobile, the schedule's on the bottom. If you want to be your own breaker and rip your own box and not have us rip it for you, you can go to mojobreakshop.com, where we sell Pokemon, hockey, football, baseball, basketball, anything card related is available at mojobreakshop.com, and ships pretty much either same day or next day, business day, when you order on that website. So that's all we got for the hype. We'll see you guys next week, and thanks for tuning in. Peace out.